For the feast of the Most Holy Trinity, the epistle is taken from St. Paul to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how incomprehensible are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him that recompense should be made him? For from him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel is that of the Apostle St. Matthew. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the unto the consummation of the world." Praise be to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Words from St. Matthew chapter 28. And the church today celebrates the greatest of all the mysteries of our religion, which is the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, which forms the foundation of our Christian religion. No one can be called a Christian unless he does not believe in the Holy Trinity. And the Catholic faith teaches that God, who is one in his divine being, is a Trinity in person. These persons are named Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Catechism defines it for us by saying that these three persons are one and the same God, having one and the same divine nature. The teaching of the First Vatican Council explains that man, by natural reason alone, can reach to the knowledge of one true God, creator of heaven and earth, just by reason alone. But it is only with the help of God and with the help of divine revelation that man can know the mystery of the triune God and that these three persons are the same God. In the Old Testament, only in figures and in the obscurities, it prefigures the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity. If you open the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it tells about that God speaks in the plural. And he said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." We see in these expressions that the three persons are acting together in the formation of man. The light of faith develops the great truth to him and tells man that within himself there is a likeness to the blessed three in one. Isaiah, the prophet, heard the voice of the seraphim as they stood around God's throne, and he heard them singing in alternate choirs and with joy intense, because eternal this hymn that we hear every Sunday when the choir beautifully in Latin says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Those words from the prophet Isaiah, which is a prayer to the Most Blessed Trinity, insinuated by these words heard by the prophet. This thrice repeating of the word "holy" is intended to indicate the threefold personality of God. It is a hymn of praise to the adorable Trinity. But the foreshadowings of the Old Testament became clear, definite, and reiterated in the work of redemption in the New Testament, where the three persons of the Most Holy Trinity are revealed and we can distinguish them by their operations. It's more clear. One scriptural example is the event of the baptism of the Lord in the River Jordan at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, where the voices of the Father and the Son both make themselves heard, and we have the visible manifestation of the Holy Ghost under the form of a dove. And Jesus, being baptized forthwith, came out of the water, and the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In his book, Christ and His Mysteries, Don Columba Marmion points out that the Eternal Father authentically introduces His Son to the world. The glorious splendor that this divine testimony reveals announces the mission of the enlightening of souls which the Word made flesh is about to inaugurate. The Holy Spirit rests upon Him to show the plenitude of gifts that adorn His blessed soul, and at the same time, to symbolize the unction of grace that Christ is to communicate to the world. In the event of the Annunciation, we look at the first chapter, St. Luke's Gospel. We have the moment which marks the first unfolding of the mystery of the redemption. The angel said to Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So the Father sends the Archangel St. Gabriel as the ambassador, and we find here the entire Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, referred in one sentence. However, when we read about this mystery, when we learn in our catechism about the mystery of the Holy Trinity, we may wonder that it's a little bit abstract, so probably indifferent or distant from our own lives. But what can we learn about this mystery? Well, in the first place, we're learning about the inner life of God. And that means that God is a community of persons. And that echoes one of the main categories of the natural inclination of man, which is to live as a community. We interact with each other. It's the same, you know, we're told, well, a priest is being transferred. Well, it's a change, because we live, we are not distant. We relate together in different ways. And that's the mystery of the Holy Trinity. The persons of the Holy Trinity interact in different operations, nevertheless are one in heart. And it brings us to the family. The family is a reflection. It's a reflection of the Most Holy Trinity. In the event of the Annunciation, pointed out before, the home of Nazareth, wherein the earthly Trinity lived, is a model for all families. That bond that unites the spouses in that sacramental marriage proceeds from outside both, which is the love of God, which unites in a sacramental marriage in an indissoluble as the unity in the Trinitarian God. That bond outside of them both, which is God. Bishop Sheen points out, because divine love as the Messiah came to earth, it became natural that husband and wife should not only give themselves to one another in mutual sacrifice, but also should recover themselves in the love of their children, the generation who tie them together as father and mother, as the Holy Spirit is the bond of unity between the Father and the Son. We see that reflection then of holy matrimony of the family in the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity. The image then of the different persons in the family should reflect the image of and likeness of the Trinitarian love and foster that unity of hearts in our families in a love that resembles so many times the charity of God the Father who sent His Son to the world, the self-denial and obedience such as the only begotten Son of God who came to this earth to do the will of the Heavenly Father, and finally, the outpouring love of the Holy Spirit. So I can see then this mystery of the Holy Trinity in my family, your family. The second teaching is the purpose of our lives, which is to do everything for the glory of God and to direct our lives to Him. In the first commandment, we learn that we should love God with our whole mind, with our whole soul. And St. Isidore, Father of the Church, says that we call a trinity that which is constituted as one whole from three, as it were a tri-unity, such as memory, intelligence, and will, in which the mind has in itself a certain image of the divine trinity, for since they are three, they are also one. Love God with your own mind, with your intelligence, with your memory, with your will. We should remain faithful then to God's commandments in order to remain in communion with the Blessed Trinity by sanctifying grace. in order to be always children of God. And where do we learn about this divine indwelling? We learn it from the chapter, the book of Saint, the Gospel of St. John. If one loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and will make our abode in him. We become temples, we become the divine indwelling of the Holy Trinity, temples of the Holy Ghost, by the time of our baptism, in which we receive sanctifying grace, and the Trinitarian love of God is in our hearts. Therefore, this is a mystery of the Most Holy Trinity that teaches that we should always put God above all things in our decisions, in our plans, in our relationships, in all that we possess, by ardently desiring the life to come. If we live in their company here below, our lives will put everything into a supernatural perspective. Let us deepen then in our friendship with the persons of the Holy Trinity, entering more and more closely in union with them by faith, by prayer, by hope, by love, and by good desires. May the Blessed Mother, daughter of God the Father, mother of God the Son, and spouse of the Holy Spirit, intercede for us. Amen.